chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 3. The title of this message is God is better than that. God is better than that. So Kyle, when you put this on the internet, put it, God is better than that. This is a message we got Friday night late. I'm going to minister to our church. I want you to understand this. The Bible, especially 1 Corinthians, was written to a church. It wasn't a message that the church could vaguely get a hold of. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and all the Bible literally is God ministering to people in what they're going through. A lot of times today in a modern church, we vaguely preach messages and hope they stick. What I want to do is I want to minister to the church need. We have a need. I don't know if everybody in here is going to... That's why I'm going to preach before it and a little bit after it. But the biggest need out of this message this morning is some of you need to know God is not hanging just on your ability to get people saved. There's some people in here, you think that you're the end-all, be-all if your son's going to get saved, or if your daughter's going to get saved, or your spouse is going to get saved, or somebody you know is going to get saved. That is not true. God's better than that. God's better than that. Let's get into the Word of God. I'm going to use some illustrations today, and I'm going to use some people. I already got permission to use one. I put him on the spot, but let's get into this. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Paul started out in a good spot. He's telling you that babes really can't eat meat. They can't eat strong stuff. They're still drinking the milk from their mothers. And that's not a down. If you're young in faith, learn how to walk, learn how to talk, learn how to feed yourself, learn how to take care. That's part of being a babe in Christ. But there is a period of time when you stop being a baby and you grow up. Because God wants to speak into your life bigger things than just don'ts and do's. Just don'ts and do's. Don't do this and do that. He's bigger than that. There's messages that's going to be preached here that if you want to grow, there's going to be lessons that are taught here if you want to grow. There's people you can get hooked up with if you want to grow. But if you just want to come here and hear messages about don't do this and do that, then you're just going to be a baby. Can I give you an illustration? Bring Jackson up here. I got some things I need to tell Jackson this morning. Good morning, Jackson. How are you? I'll take that as fine. Now listen, I'm telling you, this is how God talks to us sometimes when we won't grow up in the faith. You think I'm being funny? I might be a little bit. Jackson, you got... Leave that passive. You got some sisters, and I hate to tell you this, but they're going to... You know, I know that looks the same look I... Jackson, you're going to be a protector of them when you grow up. Don't let other boys come around and date them unless you want to beat them up, all right? Good advice, right, Jackson? Jackson, you got a mom. Be there for her. I think any of this is sinking in. I don't think. Not girls, Jackson. Never mind. That'd take too long. You said. Some of y'all thought, man, that's a silly illustration. What do you mean? Listen, Jackson ain't got the capability of listening to the deep stuff that he needed to hear right there because he's just a baby. You know what he's concerned with right now? I'm hungry, or I'm sleepy, or I want somebody to carry me, take me here. Can I have that, right? That's what we look like when we're babies. We're worried about things that are small, because that's okay. But once you get saved and you want to grow in Christ, God wants to use you for bigger things than just coming in here and feeling guilty about the things that you have done or guilty about the things that you have not done. He wants a big life for you. He wants an abundant life for you. He don't want to just keep bringing you in here and you feel like, I hear this a lot. Don't be afraid to tell it to me. I'm a big person. I can handle it. Brother, you're stubbing my toe. You're stepping on my... I always tell people, buy some work boots. But otherwise, let me tell you this. Can I give you some real good advice? So that was joking, but can I give you some good advice? Get hooked up in what God wants you to do. And you won't have to worry about that so much. You'll be picking up on some stuff that you'll say, man, that encourages me to keep going on and doing more. So I'm going to tell you, God ain't afraid to send a man into your life to tell you to grow up. He ain't. He ain't afraid to tell you. So don't be afraid. When you hear it, sometimes you just got to hear it. And that's just the truth. And I love God. I love how Paul used God. Amen? But listen, wait till it gets a little deeper, though. It gets good. Amen? Check this out. For ye are yet carnal, for where there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? I want to give you this, because I've got some perfect... Man, I'll tell you people in this church, give me good illustration. Because you had babies. I go on a youth group, and I say this, not the youth group, but the little toddlers. Babies are envious. Did you know that? Babies are envious, and I've seen this in our, and we can be this way as Christians. So I'm still talking to you about what it looks like to be a babe in Christ. You're envious of everybody else to get to doing something that you're not getting to do, and that's all you talk about is how you get... Watch two toddlers at the gym. I seen this, I ain't going to say no names of who it was, but there was a little boy who had a little doll, and the little girl wanted the doll, and he was running away from her trying to keep the doll. Not because he likes to play with dolls. He just said, this is my doll. Right? Now, I'm being honest with you. You could probably go over in that building and find several other dolls. But ain't it amazing when somebody, when you're a babe in Christ or when you're a baby, somebody's got something that you think you should have, you'll be envious and have a dying duck fit over somebody else getting to do something that you thought you would get to do. I'm really preaching. You might not like this kind of stuff, but I'm not trying to get you on my side. I'm trying to get you to grow up a little bit. Stop being envious of everybody and just do what God called you to do. I see people all the time thinking, man, I want that pulpit. I want to be a pastor. Well, praise God, go preach on the street. Go preach in the nursing home. Go preach to anybody. Praise God, God will open the doors for you. You ain't got to worry about God opening a door for you. God, listen, God said the field is white for harvest. He don't need less workers. He needs more workers. So when you see somebody doing what you think you want to do, pray for that person because apparently God sees fit to use them at that time, not you. Maybe you need some more growing up to do. Maybe you need some patience. Maybe you need to learn how to be quiet. Yeah. Strife. Babies fight over everything. Usually because one's getting everything and you don't think you're getting. Have you ever seen that? You know, listen, can I preach to you? I know this is hard swallowing this stuff. But I want to hear that. See, what happens is when you're at home and you're doing your own thing, the baby gets to, they get everything they want. Oh, this is good. It's better than y'all are letting on. At home, they got a toy box themselves. Amen? And they go in there and they play with whatever they want to play with. But then they get around other people, other church folk. And all of a sudden, somebody's playing with something they won't play with. You know what they do then? They get in a fight. Because you're getting a deal. Give me that. Give me this. Give me that. Instead of saying, you know what? God, y'all might want to write this down. It's a... Is there self-centered? That's how it's supposed to be. Cover me, wipe me, feed me, bless me. Get at mine, mine. You don't. I ain't never taught a kid of mine to say mine. Mine. Right? When you get mature and old enough, you say ours. Ours. Bless me. Bless me. The older I get, I'm being honest with you, probably because I'm breaking down, amen, but the older I get, I'd almost rather see somebody else do it. It means it didn't die with you. Man, it's maniacal if you think you're the only one. It's maniacal if you think you're the best, if you think you're the only Christian. It's maniacal. If you are, you need to learn how to love other people. It ain't all about you, self-centered. Let's get another one while we're on a run. Division. I see this all the time. Just take my ball and I'll go over here. Well, you know what I mean? Well, y'all ain't sharing. You ain't doing this. You ain't doing this for me. I ain't using me. I'm envious. I got some fights going on with everybody. I'll just take my ball and go over here in the corner and play. Forget you. You ever had that go on? Have you ever been that? Have you ever been you there? I have. It's miserable, ain't it? Golly, y'all. Is it fun to play kickball by yourself? Is it fun to play dodgeball by yourself? Can you play hide and go seek with yourself? Can you play tag by yourself? Can you have church by yourself? No, you can't. Church is a body of believers. You might be a mouthpiece, but what's the rest of the body of Christ? You want everybody to be you, and you want everybody to be like you, but God ain't made everybody the same. So division. Let's just divide. That's why there's a church on every corner. There's a church on every street, because everybody took the ball and went around somewhere else. But guess what? That church had a church split. The other church had a church split. And guess what? I heard a story one time. It was a man on a deserted island, and they showed up after about 20 years, and they got there and they rescued him. I said, "Hey, brother, what's going on?" We said, "Shipwrecked here and by myself." And all of a sudden, they looked up there and they seen three huts on the island. They said, "What are those three huts?" He said, "That's where I live right there, and that's my church." And he said, "Well, what's the other building?" "That's the other church I used to go to, but I left because they're miserable people." Here's another deal. Let's go ahead and get down on another verse. "For ye are yet carnal. For where is this among the, there's envy and strife, division? If not carnal, walk as men. For while one saith, I'm of Apollo, and another of I'm Apollos, are ye not carnal?" I love this, because this is what goes on sometimes. You think you're the spiritual giant, and you tell people what you did. "I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Paul." You know what I mean? This preacher's the best. This ministry's the best. This thing I do's the best. But you know what God says? If you'd got Paul and Apollos in a room, they would say, "Jesus is best. Jesus is best." That ministry, if it's glorifying Jesus and people are getting saved, that ministry's best. There ain't no one better minister than the other. It's all ministry if it's of Christ. I'm telling you this. What they were saying is, all of a sudden, "I got baptized by Paul. I'm Apollian. I got baptized by Apollos. I'm an Apollos." You know what? But they both would say, "Would you be quiet? That ain't possible, because we're all of Jesus. If your foundation is not in Jesus Christ, you've got a messed up home, spiritual building. Are you good? Now let's get the big point of why we even came to preach this message. I only had one big point, but I thought I'd hit everybody before I left. So when Paul is, who then is Paul and who then is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I want you to hear that. So neither is he that planteth anything, and neither he that watereth anything, but God giveth the increase. I want you to understand this, and you might not believe this, but some of y'all are shortening my life. Because some of you think, man, he's the best, and I want him. If you want me, I can't save you. I'm not perfect, and I'm not the one you need to follow. You need to get your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ and follow him. Now, I know I've been appointed to be the pastor of this church, and I'm the under-shepherd of Christ, but I am not Christ. I cannot save you, and I cannot be the only thing. If you're a part of this church, you're a part of this church because Jesus Christ called you to be here. And I have nothing to do with that. If you're a part of this, you want to be healthy, you get focused on Jesus, and that'd be important to you. Can I show you an illustration? Give me a volunteer. One. Now give me another one. Now give me another one. That's three. And give me. I'll start calling you up here. Clayton, come on up here. Johnny, come up here. Come on, come on, come on. Somebody take a bite. Jim, come on up here. How many is that? Four? One plants, one waters. Well, Scott's my lost person. Be good. Yo, can you make illustration? I do illustration much because I like to let the word do the thing. But sometimes some of you men, some of you girls, but men have to see it. Okay, I have to see it. It's lost, right? So let's just say this way. Scott's your brother or your sister. Let's get a little bit more. He's your husband, and you want him to be saved. He's that son that you want to be saved. He's that person. He's that guy you've been praying for, and you've been trying to get saved, and you think every opportunity is going to be the perfect opportunity for him to be saved. Amen? If I can just get him to church, if I can just get him before the pastor, if I can just get him. But not really biblical. I want to show you something. He gets before Paul, and Paul's going to minister Jesus Christ. He's going to plant the seed. You hear me? One plants. That means he tells him the gospel. The gospel is not an outcome-oriented message. It is a seed that you plant. So if you got that lost husband, that lost brother, sister, daughter, friend, what your job is, you've got to plant the seed. That means you've got to tell them the good news that Jesus Christ died for their sins. If they will and ask him to be the Lord of their life will be more abundant if they accept who he is and believe. So he planted. Now he moves into Apollo, which is the watering process. Y'all hearing? The watering process now. He's going to do what he did. He's going to add more. He's going to share the gospel with him. He's going to tell him about Jesus. He's going to love him and encourage him in Christ Jesus. One plants, one waters. And let me tell you this happens over and over and over in individuals' lives. This could happen from one time to a thousand times. And so many edits. In so many different accounts. But God does because he loves this man more than you do. He loves your husband more than you do. He loves your son more than you do. He loves your wife more than you do. More your daughters more than you do. That friend more than you do. He's I failed. Not hinging on. Hinged on what he did at Calvary. Just plant and you just to go away. Scoot over. one day, God will give you the credit. Not you. Child, person you've been praying for, and it absolutely has. And them. Amen. I'll end it with this statement right here. My brother, who I dearly want to know without a 100% fact that I want to know that he's going to heaven. I've witnessed to him. I've told him about Jesus. And I would like to tell you this. I've made some mistakes along the way. I've hit him with that spiritual hammer sometimes. I've told him in love. I've told him in grace. I've told him in mercy. I've told him the gospel. But every once in a while, I've been a little bit judgmental too. Amen? But there was one time that I didn't make it somewhere that I thought my brother was vulnerable and at the place where he could accept Christ. But I didn't make it. And I was standing in the church parking lot with my dad. And that's where he gave me this advice. I said, I let Ronnie down yesterday. I didn't make it down there. And I think if I'd have made it down there, he'd have got saved. And my dad turned around so quickly. Not me, not mean spirit. He looked at me and he said, Kevin, God's better than that. If his salvation does not hang on whether you're going to make it, whether you got him there or whether you didn't get him there, what it hangs on is God. He said, do you remember where you got saved? Amen? He said, do you remember where you got saved? I said, yeah. He said, who took you there? God. God showed up that day. It wasn't another human being. See, I'm going to give you a scripture that says, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the only unforgivable sin. And for years, the church has got this so misconstrued. It's something you say or something you do. It's not. It's God's deadline. It's the line you don't want to cross. See, one plants, but one waters. But see, when God comes, He deals with your heart. And He says you need to be saved. And if you resist Him and you reject Him, then you stand in danger of blaspheming Him and saying, God, I don't want that. And you're talking to the Holy Spirit because the Spirit of God is drawing you. And what the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is I'm not coming even when you are trying to give the increase. And that is the most dangerous place for a person to be, is when God is trying to give the increase and you say no. That's when you're holding on to the pew, or you're sitting in your seat and you're making up excuses because of whatever reason, when the Holy Spirit of God's drawing you. And August 28th of 04, I'm just telling you this, standing in a room, no preacher, no mom, no dad, nobody telling me about the gospel, because that seed had already been planted and already been watered. The Holy One, God Himself, came down and said, Kevin, you've got more blood on your hands than that. If you die right now, you're going to die lost, and all of your family with you. My wife did not know about Jesus. She was not raised around Jesus. And I had never planted, and I'd never watered in her life, because I'd never received it either. I had a form of godliness because I was raised in the church. And being raised in the church doesn't make you a Christian, nor like being raised in the zoo would make you a monkey, or being raised in a garage would make you a car. Being in this church has no bearing whatsoever other than you're going to get planted into and watered into. But there's a time when God deals with you. And if you don't accept that increase, then you're blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. You're saying, I'm not going, even if you're dealing with me. When you do that, you're standing in danger of rejecting God. And listen, God's graceful and God's merciful, but He's only obligated to do that for you one time. I'm glad He's done it to me several times, but I'm glad that He didn't have to. So stop two things. Don't you know? You're not responsible. God's better than that. Unless you're not sharing the gospel or you're not praying. But I want to tell you this. You're not responsible for every meeting. You're not responsible. Once you plant and water, you let God do His stuff. Because let me tell you something. God is like a holy hound dog. He will run you down. He will sniff you out. And He will find you when you don't think He can find you. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation. Maybe you got somebody in your life that you know that's not saved, and you've been beat up and beat down and everything else. Maybe you want to come and pray for them one more time and say, God, I've planted, I've watered, other people's planted and watered. God, You give the increase, I'm going to get out the way. But I felt something when I was preaching. I felt something while I was preaching there at the end. There might be somebody in here today that you put God off. And you thought just because you come to church, just because you belong here, that somehow you're going to make it into heaven without accepting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're sitting here going, I've been that person that's held on tight to the pew and wouldn't ever release and let God save me. I want to ask you this morning, if He's been dealing with you, step out. Because He don't have to keep dealing with you. That's God wanting to save you. Not me, not your mom and daddy, God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, step out. If you ain't never been saved, step out. If you've been faking it, if you just been coming to church, step out. Come on, come on, come on. Maybe God's dealt with you.